Energy Subcommittee to order. Ms. Regas, please call the roll.
Chair Drake.
Yes.
Vice Chair Lamarca.
Yes.
Ranking Member Schlossberg.
Here.
Representatives Beltran.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Buchanan.
Here.
Cheney.
Here.
Davis.
Here.
Fine.
Here.
Joseph. McFarland.
Here.
Roth.
Here.
Schoaf.
Here.
Silvers.
Here.
Skidmore.
Here.
Tribolsi.
Here.
Williamson.
Here.
Yarborough.
Here.
A quorum is present.
Okay, if you will, please silence all of your electronic devices. We have two bills today. Let's start with House Bill 353 by Haig. Bicycle Operation Regulations. Representative from Oxford, you're recognized.
Okay. Thank you, Chair and committee members. I appreciate you guys hearing this bill. So House Bill 353, Florida law requires that a person riding a bicycle must ride upon or astride a permanent and regular seat attached to the bicycle. A violation of this provision is a non-criminal traffic infraction punishable as a pedestrian violation. However, manufacturers are now offering bicycles designed to be operated without seats, which under Florida law are unlawful and subject their riders to pedestrian citations. So you might think a bicycle without a seat is funny, but if you go to elliptigo.com, E-L-I-P-T-I-G-O.com, you'll see these units, and they're very popular in coastal towns, and they're very popular in a place called the Villages. And in the Villages, the retired community are riding these elliptigos on the golf cart pass for exercise, and they're actually getting pulled over by the sheriff's department and being given citations because the law says they have to have a seat. All this does is it puts the law in perspective per the manufacturer's design, and it makes the law adhere to the design of the unit so the bicycle can be operated without a seat. And Chairman, that's the bill.
Okay, having presented the bill, members, are there any questions on the $2,700 seatless bikes? Yes.
I have
this
one.
This is going to be fun. All right, Representative from Boca Raton, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for the bill explanation. So if my husband has a bicycle and removes the seat from it, he would still be subject to a citation if he were pulled over. Is that correct?
Well, under the circumstances, yes, because all that would be the place where the seat goes in on the bicycle. It would be hard for him to ride a bicycle without a seat, though.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Follow-up? I just want to be clear. It's only if it was designed to be ridden without a seat. You can't modify a bicycle on your own in any way.
Chair, good.
You're recognized.
Yes, ma'am. That's correct. You can't modify it. It's per the manufacturer's design.
Thank you.
Any additional questions? Representative from Brevard County, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to know, have you ridden one of these bicycles?
Yes, sir. Great exercise. You should try it up and down the pass. I tell you, it works your lower body out and your arms real well.
I'm good.
Additional questions? Seeing none. We have in our public participation portion of today's program, we have Diego Echeverry, Americans for Prosperity, waving in support. Is that it? No one else? You're welcome to close.
Wave close.
Or actually, debate. Let's debate.
Oh.
No debate. You're welcome to close.
Wave close.
Having waived close, Ms. Regas, please call the roll.
Representatives Beltran.
Yes.
Brown.
Yes.
Buchanan.
Yes.
Chaney?
Yes.
Davis?
Yes.
Fine?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
Lamarcus?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Yes.
Schoaf?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Schlossberg?
Yes.
Trabolsi?
Yes.
Williamson?
Yes.
Yarborough?
Yes.
Chair Drake?
Yes.
The bill passed 18 yeas, zero nays.
What was the score?
18 yeas, zero nays.
18 yeas, zero nays.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, our last item on the agenda, House Bill 57 by Representative Andrade. Representative from Escambia County, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. So in the interest of time, would you let me to present the strike all amendment first?
You're welcome to present the strike.
Thank you, sir. Members, the strike all amendment on House Bill 57 mainly addresses the one oversight that I made in the originally filed bill, which is tax cuts of $50 per vehicle sale in a year like this are probably not recommended. So we pulled that from the originally filed bill, made several tweaks related to construction contracting and arbitration board. The definition of a borrow pit versus a mine under Chapter 378, and several other minor policy tweaks related to transportation.
Okay, now go ahead and explain the entire bill if you don't mind.
Section by section, line by line.
Oh, that's your prerogative.
It's a small T transportation bill related to contracting, qualifications for contractors, and arbitration board. The current arbitration policy between DOT and contractors. It expands the ability for airports as well as seaports to have certifications for design build projects. Allows for innovative design projects on road resurfacing to be more expanded in Florida. There's a pretty interesting section on personal delivery devices. These little electrical vehicles that can go door to door and drop off packages. Happy to answer any of the questions that the committee may have.
Okay, having explained the strike all, which engrossed the changes that he described in his opening, are there any questions on the strike? Question, Vice Chairman, Ranking Member from Palm Beach County, you're recognized.
Thank you for the promotion to Vice Chairman.
I caught that quickly.
As it relates to the personal delivery device, what's the reason for striking out the 80 pounds and saying less than 550 pounds? What's the reason for that?
The main reason right now is in Florida law, these devices can only operate before a package is placed on them or cargo is placed on them at 80 pounds or less. We have several large companies in the United States that want to expand those services and make Florida a key hub to implement these types of equipment. One being FedEx, the other being Amazon. The problem is their prototypes for these little kind of wheeled drones, range between 150 and 550 pounds. So increasing that weight on these devices, which are limited, they don't travel on the roads, they travel on sidewalks, and they're limited to a very slow speed, is a good opportunity to inject value for Floridians with these products.
And on the next page, as it relates to the blue lights, the flashing red and blue lights when workers are present, what is the purpose of making the exception here for the?
Yeah, absolutely. I believe at last count last year, there were 19 deaths for road construction workers on highways. So allowing blue lights to be placed on top of large asphalt and roller equipment that looks nothing like a vehicle would help these projects stand out at night, and hopefully distracted drivers will pay more attention, and we won't see as many road construction worker deaths in the future.
I think it was good to point out that these are going to be affixed to construction equipment and not on, any type of standard motor vehicle. Additional questions? Representative from Boca Raton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Rep. Andrade. So I understand that maybe drivers or distracted drivers aren't recognizing the current light, but from a distance, the blue light will appear to be a law enforcement vehicle. Why blue, other than to sort of pretend to be law enforcement?
Thank you, Chair. So no, I want to just definitively make clear that I don't think that anyone at any distance would mistake an asphalt piece of asphalt equipment that's generally about 10 tons, I feel like, as a law enforcement vehicle. Texas implemented the same type of policy several years ago, and there's been no record of a confusion between asphalt rolling equipment and police law enforcement vehicles. The purpose of the blue lights, because they're the most distinctive at night, and they don't blend in with vehicles that largely flash red and white light. So making them distinctive, making them stand out, just improves the safety and visibility of the project at night.
Additional questions? Vice Chairman from Lighthouse Point for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative, thanks for bringing the bill, and a lot of these issues are real important to me and to everyone here. Just maybe the question to the point, and my friend from Boca Raton, I think, so I'm going to rephrase the question and say, instead of trying to confuse people, I agree that the blue lights are going to be what's more highly identifiable from a distance, especially in the dark and at night. And so not saying to be confused to be police officers or anything like that. The question I have is fixed equipment on tracks, things like that. Are any of these able to drive on a standard road after they're done doing the work and not on a trailer? In other words, could these vehicles be driven with the blue lights for any other purpose other than on a construction site on the highway?
Thank you, Chair. No, paving machines and compaction rollers, they're it looks like a Flintstones car.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like a massive metal drum on these rollers. No, I've never seen a roller just driving on I-10 and me having to pass it in the right lane or something.
Okay. Follow up, if I could. Just so the follow-up, so not compaction machines, pavers, rollers, things like that. Would these blue lights be on anything like a combination backhoe or excavator or something that could drive?
No, the bill, the strike all amendment, specifically states paving machines and compaction rollers.
Thank you.
Representative from Jacksonville, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks, Rep. Andrade. I guess my concern is, where is this bill coming from? Is it coming from an industry? Is it coming from FDOT? And why?
Chair. So no, this bill is coming from largely the industry. This is not an FDOT's bill. These are not policies that FDOT asked me to run. These are coming from the people that are building our roads, building our bridges, putting their employees out there to contract with DOT every single day on these road projects. These are also coming from the businesses that want to provide better services, like Amazon and FedEx. I've run a similar bill the past 2 years on different subsets of different types of transportation specific policy, just because I care about the policy. And I wouldn't ever say that I'm doing this not in conjunction with DOT, but I don't speak for DOT. I don't believe they're waving in support or anything like that today, but working in conjunction with DOT with their input and working with the input of all other stakeholders, I think brings the best policy.
Follow up, Chair.
You're recognized.
So with that being said, I guess my question is, have you had any FDOT input? It says you haven't talked to them. So that's the first question. And going back to the blue lights, have you had any opposition with this bill? And if you have, who was the opposition?
Thank you, Chair. And y'all asking me these questions are going to make it look like I didn't reach out to y'all before the committee. But no, it would be foolish of me to say that I don't talk with Secretary Tebow a good amount. I have a 3-mile-long bridge in my district that is still not repaired. I think I probably talk to DOT more than any other member right now, for good or for bad. And I apologize, Secretary Tebow, if that's the case. As far as the other question related to opposition, yeah, law enforcement jealously guards blue lights because in Florida right now, only law enforcement can use blue lights. So law enforcement opposed similar policy last year, and that's why we came back this year with a much more tailored version just on these compaction rollers and asphalt equipment. Because there is a concern, I can see a valid concern from law enforcement if these could be put on F-150s. But there's absolutely no intent to mimic a law enforcement vehicle. And the concern about kind of like the camel under the tent applies far less if we're not putting them on vehicles that travel Florida roads. These vehicles don't.
Additional questions? Representative from Brevard County, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And you and I have talked about this, but I think these are important to get out here on the record. My questions are going to relate to the flashing blue light section as it's described in the bill analysis. And to be clear, I have no issue with the idea of changing lights. That's not going to be the subject of my questions. The bill analysis says the following. It says, warning lights used in a temporary traffic control zone in either a steady burn or a flashing mode are yellow in color as required by the Manual on Uniform Traffic Control Devices, or MUTCD, and it gives a citation to where it says that. Yet the effect of the bill is to allow temporary lights to be displayed in red or blue. And it could be green, purple, or orange. I'd still have the same question. Do we have to follow the MUTCD? And if we do, how can we do what your bill prescribes?
Thank you, Chair. So the concern that Representative Fine, Chair Fine, is bringing up is related not to the blue lights on vehicles, but to the flashing blue and red lights on the portable radar displays in this strike call. I just wanted to make that clear. To answer the question, my understanding is yes, we do have to follow the MUTCD. And I appreciate you bringing up the concerns about red lights, because I think, you know, that hadn't been a concern for me until you brought it up. And I appreciate you bringing it up to me. You know, based on our conversations, I've committed to pulling the red light portion, especially out on the ability for radar display signs to flash red and blue. I also want to note that unlike the vehicle concern from law enforcement, the radar display section of the strike call says that radar displays have to be accompanied under the direction of law enforcement. But as far as the MUTCD, it's my understanding that yes, if we don't follow it, especially on like permanently constructed projects in Florida, it could jeopardize our federal funding going forward, and there's a process to determine that.
Follow up. So to be clear, the portion about flashing lights as it relates to non-vehicle lights, temporary or otherwise, you'll be pulling that out in future stops to make sure we're consistent with the MUTCD.
Yes, sir. So I've spoken with DOT, and we're going to be working on making sure that this does not violate the MUTCD related to portable radar displays going forward.
Thank you.
Additional questions? Representative from Miami-Dade County.
Appreciate that. First of all, congratulations on the bill. Thank you for reaching out and working the process. You answered quite a bit of my questions well in advance. One follow-up I had, based on some of the questions we're asking here, is for the not flashing light portion for the vehicles, would you consider a different color other than red or blue? I mean, obviously red is off the table. But would you consider a different color other than blue, like yellow or orange? That way, there's no way anybody could get confused, regardless of the reports in Texas.
Thank you, Chair. Those are already used. We had 19 deaths last year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So amber lights, white lights, those are already on vehicles as well. Red lights are on vehicles. They're not governed by the MUTCD.
What are the yellow and orange and amber lights for?
The same thing. The concern is that they're not distinctive enough when comparing the fact that we have red and white lights on vehicles. The blue lights stick out. They stick out because they're not natural colors at all. They're not, part of the sunset. They just travel farther along the highway when people are looking ahead.
Let's face it, every one of us slows down when we see a blue light, right? I think that's probably.
I guess that's part of the point, because earlier the bill spawned. So let me just make sure, like, I'm supporting the bill. I'm just trying to also consider the public, right? Because initially, in response to my colleague's question, the response was nobody will confuse it with law enforcement. But the reason, as the chair just commented, that everybody slows down for blue is because they think it's the boys or girls in blue. And I guess I'm just trying to really nail down to make sure that there isn't another color that will work, maybe purple, which is close to blue but not blue, or green, which is also close to blue but not blue, that will also accomplish what you're looking for. Or is it precisely because of the fact that it's blue that makes it, effective for what you're trying to accomplish?
If my intent was to mimic law enforcement vehicles, I'd have told you that.
You have
regularly manufactured lights of specific colors. It's usually red or blue. If someone comes out with a really effective mauve light, I'm sure the contractors would love to use it, and it wouldn't be restricted currently under state law. The only one that is currently restricted is blue lights, because it's jealously guarded by law enforcement for obvious reasons. That's why we offer the compromise to limit it only to equipment that looks nothing like a vehicle.
All right. Thank you.
Additional questions on the strike all? Seeing none, are there any amendments? We have one. We have an amendment. We have the barcodes. Okay, Representative Schlossberg has an amendment, Amendment 1A. A representative from Palm Beach County, you're recognized to present your amendment.
Thank you, Chairman. My amendment is the First Responder Protection Act. And what this amendment does is it prohibits handheld use of phones while operating a motor vehicle in the immediate vicinity of an active scene where first responders are working. So currently, Florida law, which we passed in 2018 at the leadership of Chair Drake, we require drivers to put their cell phones down in school zones and in active construction zones. So these zones are considered hands-free. This bill would expand those protections into move-over zones, or zones where first responders are attending to an accident scene or doing something in the line of their duty. The side of the road is one of the most dangerous places for first responders, and we've seen state troopers who have been almost killed by distracted drivers. And so this amendment would just add an extra layer of protection to our first responders.
Questions, Representative from Boca Raton. Questions on her amendment. Representative from Port St. Joe, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative, have you had a chance to speak with the bill author, and is this a friendly amendment?
Representative from Boca Raton, you're recognized.
I have briefly spoken with the sponsor of the bill, and I'm sure he thinks it's a friendly amendment, but at this time, there are issues that have to be worked out, so he's not going to accept it at this time.
Any additional questions on the amendment?
Mr. Chairman, I have a couple.
Representative from Brevard, you're recognized.
I should have picked a better seat if I wanted to talk today. I have a couple questions. The first is, you described this as the something-something-something act. Have you filed this as a bill for the upcoming session?
I filed hands-free Florida, so it would be hands-free throughout the state of Florida. I filed this as an amendment to Rep. Andrade's bill because this bill is intended to protect our roadside construction workers, and this is just adding another layer of protection for our first responders who are also attending to scenes or on the side of the road and need those protections as well.
Okay. Follow-up?
Additional questions? You're recognized.
So why call something a something-something-something act if it's, you know, not a standalone bill and you're just trying to add it to another member's bill?
This is the intent and purpose of the amendment. It is the First Responders Protection Act. I work with local first responders in my community to help draft and create this legislation, including the title.
Okay. Last follow-up.
You're recognized.
If it is a good idea, and it is the whatever something-something-something act, why not file it as a standalone bill and have it move through the process on its own?
I filed House Bill 91, which already which is hands-free for the entire state of Florida. So it's more broad than just current zones. This is kind of a smaller bite at the apple in just certain zones in the state.
Okay, thanks.
Additional questions on the amendment? Representative from Miami-Dade County for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
On the 1A Schlossberg Amendment, Representative Schlossberg Amendment.
Ranking Member, my question for you is, with your amendment, what would be the impact of, let's say, somebody driving and they slow down, traffic is to a stop, and they see something going on with law enforcement? So it's first responders, so that would include law enforcement. And let's say somebody's beating somebody up and they want to record that. What would your bill do for that?
Can you?
You recognize.
Okay. Can you clarify if that means they want to they want to drive a vehicle in the midst of traffic, and they want to hold a camera out while they're driving and record? Is that
so? Traffic, in my hypothetical, traffic has slowed to a complete stop. Maybe there's an accident ahead or something, but nobody's moving. But the vehicle is on, right? And maybe they put the car in park, or maybe they don't. Either way, you can answer it however you like to. My question is, if they want to record law enforcement or somebody else doing something that they think might be a crime or something that they want to record, what would be the impact of that in your bill? I mean, not your bill, your amendment.
There are exceptions in the bill for when a car is not being operated or when it's in park and stopped on the side of, I'm not sure that hypothetical would really apply because there is exceptions. So when the car is stopped, you know, there's nothing applicable in those periods. But if somebody is operating a vehicle while driving, they wouldn't be able to record while driving that
Thank
vehicle.
Thank you. That answers my question.
Additional questions for the ranking member? Seeing none. All in favor of the amendment, say yay.
Yay.
All
yay.
Opposed, no. Show the amendment fails. We have another amendment to the strike, Amendment 1B, by Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative McCoy, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This amendment would remove the word consent and change it to consult in regards to FDOT's involvement in Central Florida's expressway systems building of toll roads there in Lake County. The change in the language would just ensure that Lake County and the CFX would work with the department, but not be restricted from building additional toll roads in the best interest of their community, and that is the amendment.
Are there questions?
I have one. Just for the record, is this a friendly amendment?
Mr. Chair, may I?
Representative from Pensacola, you're recognized.
Like the last amendment, it is from a very friendly member. Unlike the last amendment, it is a friendly amendment.
Additional questions? Okay, we're going to, I have a ball of twine that I need to unwind. So we need to go back to, we're going to TP this amendment. We're going to go back to the 1A amendment by Representative Schlossberg. We never did debate the amendment, so we did have our period of questions expired. However, we did not give her an opportunity or any other members an opportunity to debate. So, Representative Schlossberg, you're recognized in debate on your Amendment 1A to the strike.
Chair, are we going to revote on this
yes.
1A? Okay. Members, the First Responder Protection Act adds an extra layer to our first responders. They have enough to deal with on the side of the road, saving our lives, saving the lives of every Floridian. We have to protect, you know, our first responders, our fire, our paramedics. I ask for your favorable support.
Is there any additional debate? Okay, so I have not been very good at my parliamentary today. So by what happened was that we did not afford the bill sponsor an opportunity to close and the members to debate, but we did vote on the bill. So in order to get this in a proper posture to afford every member the prerogatives that we have as members of this committee, let me, as being one on the prevailing side of the vote, let me move to reconsider the vote that was taken on the 1A amendment. And is there any objection to the reconsideration? Seeing none, we're back on the 1A amendment that was presented by Representative Schlossberg, and she has offered up debate and has closed debate. She has offered debate. Is there anyone else that would like to debate on the amendment? Seeing none, and having closed on the debate, all in favor of the amendment, say yay.
Yay.
All opposed, nay.
Yay.
The amendment fails. Now we are back on the 1B amendment by the representative from Ocoee. Questions on the amendment? Seeing no questions, is there anyone that would like to speak on the amendment? Seeing none, is there any debate on the amendment? Seeing no debate, you're recognized to close on the amendment. Representative Brown.
Mr. Chair, I waive close.
Having waived close, all in favor of the amendment say yay.
Yay.
All opposed, no. Show the amendment is adopted. So now back on the bill as amended, are there any questions on the amended bill? Questions? Is there any public testimony? Okay, we have Secretary Kevin Tebow representing the Florida Department of Transportation. That would like to speak on the bill. Secretary, thanks for being here today, and we're always grateful to see you, and you're recognized.
Thank you, Chairman.
Excuse me.
Now, just as the representative mentioned, we have been working with him on the bill, so we are going to work with him along the way, make sure it's in the right posture. So we thank you for your support.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary.
Mr. Chairman, could I ask a question?
Sure.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary, for being here. Just since you are here, and for the benefit of the members of the committee, because this is an issue that we may have to deal with in other times and circumstances, can you talk a little bit about the MUTCD and the requirements for the state to follow it and how restrictive it is and what happens if we choose not to?
Chairman?
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. You're recognized.
So the manual on uniform traffic control devices is the national standard that all the states and the territories use for any traffic control device. So that's signs, striping, signalization, lighting. We have to follow that. And just imagine if we didn't have that, the stop signs would look different, the yield signs would look different, and so on. And so in this case, there are specific colors in the case of the lights that need to be used. And as referenced, I think, by even the representative, certain ones are already being used in certain applications. And in this case, if a state or a territory decides not to use or follow the manual, there's usually notice from the Federal Highway Administration about that failure to follow, and then there'll be current remedies to try to make sure that the state follows, including, as the representative mentioned, you could lose federal funding.
Additional questions? Representative from Boca Raton, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Nice to see you, Secretary Tebow. Do you have an opinion as the director of FDOT on sort of, as the representative mentioned, the camel's nose under the tent of using the blue light for anything other than law enforcement?
Chairman? Thank you. The focus of what the representative is trying to do is exactly what we need to be doing, is how do we improve safely our transportation system, including in a construction zone? And he's exactly right. We've had numerous instances where we've had issues where people are just not paying attention. You know, as you know, many of our construction zones have reduced speeds. And unfortunately, there are situations that people are not following that guidance that are telling them that. So what we try to do is work with our partners, including law enforcement, to help to try to make sure people are following that. And so whatever strategies, and that's part of our discussions with the representative, is whatever strategies we can put in place that makes these construction zones safer, we are very much in support of.
Additional questions for the Secretary of DOT? Seeing none?
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Additional public testimony. We have Sarah Suskey, representing Associated Industries of Florida, waving in support. Stephen Shiver, representing the Asphalt Contractors Association of Florida, waving in support. Seeing anyone else? No one else in the audience. On the strike all as amended, is there any questions? Debate. Debate on the amended bill. No debate. You're recognized. Close.
Wave closed, Chair.
Having waved closed, Ms. Regas, please call the roll. Hold on one second. Show the strike all amendment adopted without objection. Seeing none, on the strike as amended, are there any questions? Anyone wishing to testify? Any debate? Seeing no debate, you're welcome to close. Having waived close, Ms. Regas, please call the roll.
Beltran?
Yes.
Brown?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Davis?
Yes.
Fine?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes, good job.
LaMarca?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Schoaf?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Schlossberg?
Yes.
Tribolsi?
Yes.
Williamson?
Yes.
Yarbrough?
Yes.
Chair Drake?
Yes.
18 yeas, 0 nays.
Show the bill passes. Thank you, Representative Andrade. Seeing no further business before the committee, Vice Chair LaMarca moves we rise. Show that done without objection.